the subject, The World's Greatest Need. Our text, John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? There are many pathetic situations revealed to us in the ministry of Jesus. At one time we see an angry mob waiting for him with the purpose of stoning him to death. With infinite pathos he said, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" Other heart-rending scenes could be brought into view, but to me the one most pathetic is that which come to us through the words of our text. Jesus had begun his ministry in Judea, and so great was the charm of his personality and the attractiveness of his teaching that multitudes thronged to him. This was true both in Judea and Galilee. When Jesus finally began to give the people some sharp teaching concerning his ministry and his ultimate departure, their attitudes changed and crowds began to leave him, until at last only the 12 were left. Then Jesus turned to them, saying, "Will ye also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Today the world's greatest need is Christ, but the masses of the present, like the throngs of Judea and Galilee, have turned away from him. As a result, men are finding themselves imprisoned by forces over which they have no control. In personal life, in home, in church, in school, in business, and in the busy, workaday world, they are pressed on every hand, disturbed, discouraged, distraught. Uncertainties abound. Questions perplex. Decisions are hard to make. With the world in such a turbulent, tumultuous uproar, the like of which no generation has ever had to face, and with distractions, depressions, inflations, desolations on every hand, all of which are bringing in creeping disillusionment, surely we must have somewhere to turn and some rock upon which to stand. The only safe, secure, satisfying rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. Unquestionably, in many instances, Christ has been both neglected and ignored. No nation or segment of society can do this without bringing untold havoc and ruin to themselves. It's both amazing and tragic how so-called Christian nations will yield and bow to the wishes and the whims of godless governments. Prayer is omitted, Christ is unwanted, God is hated. What a shame that nations which have prospered under the banner of Emmanuel will, under certain conditions, form alliances with and yield to those who are the sworn enemies of the Christian faith. Communism, as we know it in the world today, shakes its fist in the face of God. It's viciously antagonistic to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it would have its way, it would close every church, kill or transform every preacher and Christian, and destroy everything which is held sacred by God's word and God's people. Yet we have multitudes who have and who are turning away from Christ, his love, his peace, his forgiveness, and turning to these blasphemous principles and doctrines of hell, which will not only blast the lives of men for the present, but will damn them eternally. Right here in America, we have forces uncomfortably strong that would desire to scrap the Constitution, abolish our representative form of government, including every civil liberty, such as free speech, free press, and free assembly. The realization of such philosophy would place all power and all authority of every kind in the hands of a dictator surrounded by a little clique of unscrupulous designers responsible to no one but themselves. Farms, factories, and even homes would be placed under government ownership. The state would own everything. The land upon which you work and the house in which you live would be only loaned to you. You couldn't rent, lease, nor own a home. All private property of every kind would be confiscated by the state. The sanctity of home would be destroyed, the family circle dissipated, filial love and all respect for parental authority tossed into the junk heap. Marriage would become a farce, to be consummated one day and dissolved the next, if so desired. You sign on and sign off at the expense of a trifling fee, or you sign nothing, if you prefer, the only condition being that the birth of a child must be registered. These are exactly the results when communistic ideas and philosophies come to fruition. May God help us to see before it's too late that these anti-God philosophies, principles, and practices will bring us to utter destruction. Someone says we're going to have to hurry to get some new legislation into action. Surely we need to thank God for the legislation of our legislators. Yet, my friend, what we need most of all is Christ. Our nation has prospered and has come to her present state of power and influence because of the permeating power and effects of the gospel. Our only hope is a return to the God-provided energy which comes to us through Christ and His blood which was shed on Calvary. We're being overrun with gambling, drinking, adultery, and corruption in both high and low places. Immorality, indecency, infidelity are rampant. There is a tremendous need for the exposure of evil, corruption, and rottenness. It seems that we're going on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, thinking less and less of these things. Sins becoming common, so prevalent that we pay little attention to it. The common statement is, well, everybody does it. Consciences are dead. Minds are befogged by the devil. Men are growing fat and sleek in their souls. They love to hear warm, soft, perfumed platitudes. Educators have thought they could do something about the situation, but even they are baffled. Legislation has all but thrown up his hands over the crashed ruins of the world. Science has gone into the war business with the scientists of the nations, breaking their necks to compete with each other as to which can invent the most murderous weapons. Even the church has failed with its many modernistic, Bible-questioning, Bible-destroying, hate-provoking preachers and teachers. In certain instances, the visible church has joined the devil's band and is playing his tunes. As a result, many have adopted the idea that there's nothing to religion. Therefore, from one end of this country to the other, yea, even throughout the world, false religions have sprung up and are entwining the hearts and minds of men like a patch of quackgrass. Vast multitudes have become totally indifferent to the claims of Christ, to the things of the Spirit, to the will of God, and to the problems of eternity. The result is that we have a tidal wave of infidelity followed by intemperance producing impurity. Many are asking, to whom or to what can we go or turn? I want to say that as long as we try to have peace conferences and United Nations meetings without Christ, there is no way out. As long as we think we can run our business, control our social life, inaugurate home life without Christ, we might as well make up our minds that conditions will wax worse and worse. We need help, and that immediately. Help that will comfort our souls, that will conquer circumstances, and that will enable men to control themselves. We need help that's greater, wiser, more effective, and more efficient than that which is offered by psychologists, philosophers, scientists, statesmen, diplomats, and warmongers. We need help from a source that is unchanging, a source over which neither Satan nor men have any control. It must be something that's sure, steadfast, satisfying. The question is, to whom or to what shall we go? Thank God there's a solution. Christ is the need of the world. He is our only source of comfort, happiness, strength, security, hope. Men want the blessings of Christianity, but they do not want Christ. This is absolutely out of the question. What America and the world need to know today is that we are headed for the junk heap if we do not open our hearts, homes, churches, businesses, yea, even our government life to Christ. It is peculiar that men do not learn by reading the Bible and even by examining secular history. Anyone who will do this, and will do it candidly with an open mind, look at the conditions today using the brains that God has given him, will see where we are headed. Examining once more the claims and credentials of Christ, we find that the cross is still there, raising its splendors above the weaknesses, hatreds, brutalities, and curses of men. The blood of Christ is still demonstrating its power to meet the need of sinning, dying, and torn humanity. In Christ, man's debt has been paid. The atonement is available and adequate. The throne of God's mercy is free to all. The resurrection is still a fact, both of history and experience. Because he lives, we can also live. We're also assured that this Christ is ever living to make intercession for men. This very minute, he is at the right hand of the Father, pleading for you and for all who are still without Christ. He is interested in the salvation of the sinner and the victory of the believer. Storms may come, tempests may sweep, rains may fall, winds may lash, but that one who builds his life on Calvary's rock shall never be disappointed. My listener, if you have departed from Christ, the Bible declares that you're without God and hope in this world. Without him, you have no shepherd. Without him, your thirst is unquenched. You have no refuge, but are at the mercy of every wind that blows. Without him, you will go into a hopeless eternity with no refuge for your soul. Sin is everywhere throughout the world in its wrecking and ruining power, and there is no hope to offer without Christ. It is he who determines the destiny of men. The most appalling depth of ingratitude to be witnessed today comes through the rejection of Christ by men. Every last one is again today called upon to make a choice. To accept Christ means to ally yourself with the most heroic and ennobling aspiration of the human mind. It places you side by side with the pioneer heroes of righteousness who have blazed the trail of human progress to the place which our nation has occupied. In accepting Christ, you are placing yourself with the impregnable moral forces that subdue and overthrow crime, that cleanse political life, and that strengthen the courts of justice. In accepting Christ as your personal Savior, you attach yourself to a fountainhead whose seat is God, whose majesty is love, power, and dominion, world without end. In accepting Christ, you have the solution to and the salvation from the thraldom of sin which has contaminated your life. This deliverance brings the sweet assurance which silences the condemning voice of an accusing conscience. It brings you the joy of a testimony in which you can say with the Apostle Paul, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. On the other hand, if you decide to take the way of the world, making it your choice, let me say that you identify yourself with the darkest destructive forces that can possibly militate against the welfare of humanity. Consciously or unconsciously, it means that you are placing yourself with some of the most diseased minds as well as with the most degenerate criminals that ever gnawed at the destruction of humanity's highest ideals. It means that you are actively or inactively aligning yourself with the enemies of the cross to strike at the pillars of democracy upon which this nation has rested securely since its founding by our Pilgrim Fathers. In fact, by rejecting Christ, you're placing yourself, your powers, and all that you are at the disposal of Satan for the ruination of the world and the damnation of the souls of men. Our world is helpless and hopeless. My friend, what are you going to do about it? Your decision will help to determine the state and destiny of men nations, and the world. I trust your answer will be like unto Peter's, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Such an answer will bring to you and to others over whom you have an influence, a peace, a joy, a prosperity, and a hope which cannot be obtained or retained in any other way or from any other person. Christ, and Christ only, is the answer to your need and the need of the world. God bless you.